It's not the hog pen.
No, no.
There is peace in this house.
Yes.
Joy in this house.
Yes.
Salvation in this house.
Yes.
Healing in this house.
Yes.
Prosperity in this house.
Yes.
Health in this house.
Yes.
Everything you need is in this house.
Yes.
Everything you want is in this house.
Yes.
If it's not in here, you don't need it. If it's not in here, you don't want it. Glory
Jesus.
To God. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you, God, for this great assembly gathered here this morning to hear and share the word of God. We pray that you'll open our eyes, Lord, this morning that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Give us the spirit of wisdom and fellowship. Give us a revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer this morning. We might be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. All right. We're in the book of Ruth. Before we get in that, I've got an announcement to make about the Monday night Revelation class. We're not going to be having class. We won't have class tomorrow night. And matter of fact, we won't. And then the next week is Labor Day. And so we're not going to have Monday night class again until September the 26th. We need to go back to South Dakota. My mother's having surgery,
okay.
So we'll be going back there. But so it'll be September the 26th before we start classes again.
Okay, 26.
So put that down. Don't anybody come on Monday nights. There won't be anybody here till September the 26th, and then we'll be going into chapter. Well, we're in the middle of chapter 14.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
September the 26th.
Okay. Are we sure that's a Monday night? We're not even sure that's a Monday night. Has somebody got a calendar? Somebody better look. Is it the 25th Monday night? All right, Monday night the 25th then. All right, the 25th, so it won't be the 26th, it'll be the 25th.
September 25th. Okay, that's the reason I say things over and over again, just to make sure we get it.
There you go.
There we go.
All right, that'll work.
No.
All right, praise the Lord.
We're not having it this Monday.
Not this Monday.
Meet again until September the 25th.
That's right, exactly. Praise the Lord. All right.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're talking about the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth is a book about the harvest season. It's a book about chesed.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. It's harvest season.
It's a prophetic allegory.
Yes, it is.
It tells us about the end times, basically. It really does. It portrays the times of the end. Mm-hmm. And barley represents the harvest of the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. The wheat harvest represents the harvest of the Jews.
Amen.
Remember that when Jesus gave us the parable of the wheat and the tares,
yep,
that's not barley and tares. That's wheat and tares.
There's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. So the parable of the wheat and tares has really nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with the church. It has to do with the harvest of the Jews. Mm-hmm. So that is often, I get into it with people all the time about that. That is a wheat harvest thing that he's talking about, and it doesn't have anything to do with the church. And a lot of Jesus' parables really didn't have anything to do with the church. They're about the kingdom of heaven, and they're about the Jews and their relationship with God.
And that's same with the 10 virgins.
I think that's exactly the same with the 10 virgins. I think it's all about the Jews. I can't figure out what in the world the 10 virgins have to do with the Church of God. I really can't figure that out. But like I said the last time, I have no idea really what the 10 virgins parable is all about. And nobody did and nobody, and they were all afraid to ask him. So he did not expound that parable. So unfortunately, it remains a mystery to us. But
only thing we come away with that is not to be foolish.
Not to be foolish. That's right. And keep your lights burning. That's
Amen.
Right.
Keep the Holy Spirit.
That is true. That's true. That is true. So we want to do that. But anyhow, all right. So we were in chapter two. Now chapters 1 and 2 really set the stage for chapters 3 and 4, where the real meat of this book is. And I think we were in verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until the eventide, and she beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and came into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that which she had left over from her satisfying meal. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you wrought? May he who has acknowledged thee be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law what she had done with him. And she said, "The name of the man with whom I have wrought this day is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of Jehovah, who has not abandoned his kesed to the living or to the dead." And Naomi said to her, "The man is near to us. He is one of our redeemer kinsmen." So this is you can imagine that Naomi, this is the first revelation that Naomi has all of a sudden.
She's back in the proper land. She's back in the right land.
That God has not forsaken her.
Amen. Oh, she changed her
Amen.
Attitude
she's
from the first
changed. Time. Now she's gotten a change now. She's changed. She's feeling the change of revelation knowledge. She's getting revelation knowledge here.
Yes, it is. It couldn't come before because she was too down and out.
That's right.
That even applies to us.
That
before.
Is true.
When we too down and out, God can't give us revelation. We can't see.
Yeah, that's right. That is exactly right. Naomi said, "Blessed be he of Jehovah who has not abandoned his kesed to the living or to the dead."
Amen.
So Naomi's, you can imagine that all of a sudden her heart leaps at the sound of this because she sees the hand of God in this. And she's right. She's right. The hand of God.
Even to her husband,
that's right. That's right.
He's still taking care.
Exactly.
He's being a husband to her.
That's true.
Because the husband is dead from the living.
That is true.
He's still being God.
Amen. That's true. That's right. He is the God. He is the God of the living.
Boy, she's getting some deep revelation there.
She is. That's right. She is indeed. That is absolutely right. This is a beautiful statement. All right. Now, then said Ruth the Moabitess, "Also he said unto me, you shall cleave to my young men until they have finished all my harvest." Is that what he said?
No.
Is that what Boaz told her to do? No. That is not what Boaz told her to do. Boaz said, "You shall stick fast by my maidservants." He didn't say hang out with my young men.
He said for the young men to not let anybody touch you.
That's right. He said, "I've commanded the young men not to hurt you." Mm-hmm. But he said, "You stick by my young women." Ruth says he said, "Stick with my young men." That is not what he said. Mm-hmm. And Naomi sets her straight on this in verse 22. "But Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go forth with his young women, mm-hmm. that they not fall upon you in some other field." Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what to make of this.
You know, you said that kind of gleaning was dangerous.
It was dangerous.
Women were taken advantage of out there, trying to glean.
Yeah, but I don't know what to make of this slip of the tongue that Ruth makes. Ruth says, Boaz said, stay with my young men. Naomi says, no, 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 he didn't say that. I know he didn't say that. You stick with his young women. Now, I don't know why she said that.
It's very easy to get it misinterpreted, for her to get it misinterpreted, because he did say something about the men. The men gonna watch out for you, you know, and stuff like that. So somehow she got it mixed up, but
she
thank God for Naomi, an older lady, straighten her out.
That's right.
That's
Naomi.
What the older ladies are for.
That's what older ladies are for. That is exactly right. That is what the older ladies are for. And remember, that Ruth is a new convert, and Naomi is the mother in the law. She is the one who knows. She is the one who knows how things work. She knows the customs. She knows the law. She is the mother in the law. Ruth is the Gentile bride. The church is the Johnny come lately to this whole business. You know, but you know, and all that we know about God, you know, we learned from the Jews until the door was opened and then the Holy Spirit began to speak to us directly. Yes.
He said, I guide and lead.
That's right.
I'll talk
that's
to you.
Right.
I'll tell you where and what.
That's true.
You know. And this is
so this is and that's right. So he and so he, here you see this. I think you see a progression in Ruth's revelation knowledge of the way of the Lord and the way of the customs. You see her not knowing very much at the beginning, but as time goes by and she spends more time in the land, she gets much wiser and she gets much more knowledge and understanding of how things work, so that when we get over into chapter 3, we're going to see that she eclipses even what Naomi has to say.
Amen. Brother, can we go back and read? Can I read this for you for what Boaz told Ruth?
Yeah, read that.
Do? Okay, that's in the 8th chapter.
Ninth verse.
Let your eyes be on the field which thou reap, and go after them. Have I commanded the young man not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessel and drink from what the young men have drawn. So I can see her getting it kind of...
Yeah, but let's look at verse 8. Boaz said unto Ruth, hear me well, my daughter. Go not to glean in another field, nor pass over from this one, for so attach yourself with my young women.
That's what he told her.
With my young women. And so that is exactly what he told her to do, and that is in fact what Naomi knew that he told her to do. So she did, somehow or other, she...
Well, see, by him telling her, when you're thirsty, go drink from my young men, what my young men have drawn.
What they have drawn, that's true.
Yeah. So I can.
That's true.
You out there working in those fields, you can get something a little twisted. She wasn't perfect, but
no, she wasn't.
Naomi was there, as the Holy Spirit is here for us to straighten things out when we get them wrong.
We get them. That's true. We do get them wrong, and that's right. But we grow. We're supposed to be growing. And we can see that Ruth is actually growing.
Yes, she
we
is.
See that she's growing.
Yes, she is.
She does curiously make a strange slip of the tongue here.
Did the same thing, hath not God said? And then she didn't completely correct say what God told her what not to do. So it's just human nature, kind of.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is.
How many in this room's not done that?
So
you got something on you.
So here's...
So
all we can do, I don't know what to make of all this for sure, but all we can do is observe that Boaz said this, Boaz said X, Ruth said he said Y, and then Naomi said X again. Naomi said no, he said this.
And also there's a possibility he said more than what's written in here.
Well, we can't, we can't rely on that.
He was very protective of Ruth.
Yeah, I mean, he told him what he wanted to do.
You know.
Yeah.
He knew what the guys would do.
You're right.
Rape and stuff.
You're absolutely right.
He wouldn't tell her to do that.
That is true.
He would not tell her.
He would not tell her to do that. He would not tell her to do that. And Naomi knew he did.
Naomi knew better than that.
Naomi knew better than that.
And Naomi emphasized it so Ruth wouldn't have.
That is correct.
Ruth could have gotten herself in a lot of trouble.
That is true. That is true. Naomi sets her straight.
Ruth was a pretty girl too.
That's true. Naomi sets her straight. And if there was any doubt about what she was supposed to do, Naomi sets her straight. Amen. Naomi gets it right. So I want you to observe this, that Ruth appears to make a mistake in chapter 2. But over in chapter 3, she doesn't do what Naomi tells her to do. But she goes far beyond what Naomi tells her to do. But she does better than what Naomi tells her to do.
She's so growing now.
She is growing. She's growing by leaps and bounds. And she's growing in the Lord. She's growing in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. She's growing exponentially.
Amen.
Because this is not a long time. This is just a few weeks now. A few weeks transpire between chapter 2 and chapter 3. Because chapter 2, this is the first day of the barley harvest. And over here in chapter 3, where she goes down to the threshing floor and meets Boaz, it's the end of the barley harvest. So it's been a few weeks and the barley harvest is finished, yes.
So in reading that, can we kind of say maybe sometimes the rabbis can set us straight?
They can. That is correct. That is correct. They have some things to tell us that would be good for us to listen to. That is absolutely right. And that is exactly what I try to do. I try to be Ruth. In all of this, I recognize that the Jews have forgot more about God than most of us have any idea about. So what we, you know, if I talk about what the rabbis say a lot, and I realize that they have a lot to teach us about God, and it's good for us to know to be always on the lookout. I always say whenever a Jewish person begins to speak about God, even one that's ungodly, even any ungodly Jewish people, you need to listen. Because they're hardwired. It's in their DNA. It's genetic memory, if you will. They remember. And they may tell you some things
that
about... That's right.
You know.
They may tell you some things that we just don't know.
But the Bible commanded them to pass these things down to your children.
That's right. And they know, they just instinctively know these things. Mm-hmm. They're far from God right now, but that doesn't mean they don't know things. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul, that's right, the Apostle Paul knew all kinds of things. He had it all scrambled up, but all of that was in his brain. It was all in there. And all he needed was for the Holy Spirit to move things around and put the pieces together in the right place.
Amen.
That's all he needed. And it was all in there.
Amen.
The problem with the Gentiles is it ain't in there. They ain't in there. That's right. That's the truth. All right.
This is also a message for us today when somebody tells us something and we know it's not true and we know it's not right to be boldly and tell them.
That's a good point.
Not trying to.
That's a good point.
Don't worry about whether it's going to hurt their feeling or not. You're supposed to speak the truth.
Especially the older women are supposed to instruct the younger women.
Teach the younger women.
The Bible says that Paul said, let the older women instruct the younger women.
But that's not happening.
It ain't happening, people. It ain't happening.
I'm like, God,
sinful to mamas.
There is a desperate need in the church today for the older women to step up.
When I was in Africa, and I'm getting ready to minister, and I left my paper on the chair, purposely because God had something else for me to do. And he wanted me to speak on the wisdom of a woman, how the older woman can speak to the younger women. And I don't know what came out, okay? But all I know is at the end of it, you can see the older women embracing the younger women when
praise
I finished.
Amen. Praise God.
Like I said, I had already all night sit up, wrote this good sermon and everything, and just got up, and it was still on the chair.
He gave them what they need.
And he gave them what they need through me.
But that needs to come back.
Yes, it does.
It needs to return to the
Yes,
church.
It does.
I mean, I see things and I'm like, come on, people. We have to make a change here. You know?
And the young women need to listen to the older women.
They do.
They desperately need to understand that they don't know much. And the older women know. That has a desperate need. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm going to turn this over to Brother. Glory to God.
Poor little young girls.
Oh, yeah, God.